Good afternoon to everyone and everybody on all the electronic connections that may be out there. I would like to go ahead and give a title right up front. The title of my message today is Listen to God's Communications. Listen to God's Communications. If you were to draw a scale or a spectrum, on one end might be, you know, God seems far removed. You know, does he listen to me? Does he hear me? Can he hear me? God, are you out there? I need an answer. God, I need help. I feel so alone. Where are you, God? Not one end of the scale. On the other end of the scale could be, you know, God told me. God said to me these words. God is directing me to do this. Which, you know, when you hear that from some people, it can feel awkward almost. You know, I've had somebody tell me they were praying and Jesus was sitting right there at the end of her bed. I could see him. He was sitting right there. Well, I'm not saying that, you know, that there can't be a feeling of that, but, you know, that would be the two ends of maybe that spectrum. But how does God speak to us? And more importantly, do we listen to God's communications? The word language, just reading a Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of the word language, is the system of words or signs that people use to express thoughts and feelings to each other. You know, a word. Communication, on the other hand, is the act or process of using words, sounds, signs, or behaviors to express or exchange information or to express your ideas, thoughts, feelings to someone else. Pretty obvious, nothing confusing about that. But I'd like to maybe try to intertwine as much as I can a third word or phrase. And you'll hear this in business. It's been around forever. That is effective communication, because there's a big difference. You can communicate to people. I can communicate to people or think I'm communicating to people, but it not have, obviously, the desired effect. Effective communication, this is just my definition, having looked at 20 different definitions, I summarized it this way. Effective communication is a process where a message is clearly and successfully delivered, received, and understood by the receiver in the manner that the sender intended it to be. Now, if you communicate something using words, and the person or the party that you're communicating to gets it, they hear it, they take it in, and they understand it in the manner that you intended for it to be understood, that's effective communication. And of course, that is what God does with us. If when you're looking at that scale, it's not that God is not communicating. He does. And we'll cover, I've come up with 10 different ways or methods or forms of communication that we'll cover later. But in preparing this message, I felt, as I went through the material, you can't talk about how does God speak to us without first and foremost covering the idea, the concept of listening. Because you can speak to somebody all day long. I'm sure you've done that. You know, your kids, you try to tell them something, but they're not listening. So I want to focus on that as before we even get to the 10 different ways or methods that God does speak to us, and there are others. But the one point I do want to make first, though, is Christianity, our relationship with God in Christ and each other, is a relationship developed and maintained through effective communication. That's pretty obvious. It's straightforward. If you would, turn to John 17, verse 1. John 17, verse 1. Again, about this Christianity of being a relationship developed and maintained by effective communication. Jesus tells us in John 17, verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. In verse 3, such an important passage that we read, of course, at Passover. This is eternal life. What is it? If you want to sum it up in one sentence, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Of course, the Father and the Son are one. But that is eternal life, to develop and maintain that relationship through effective communication. It can't be any other way. It can't be, I think I heard a message, or, you know, God doesn't speak to me. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. You know, I go years and I feel like God's not talking to me. Or sometimes you feel like he is. It has to be effective communication on an ongoing basis. And of course, the entire Bible, the written word of God, shows us that God wants that eternal relationship with mankind, beginning with first fruits. This is an amazing story. It's an amazing plan. And we must, of course, when we hear about this, virtually every sermon has something to do with this. We must train our ears and our mind to hear God's communications through recognition and receptivity, because there is an attitude involved, that we may deepen our relationship with God in Christ. So our ear has to be trained to hear that effective communication. It doesn't come naturally. In fact, it's unnatural. You know, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It doesn't want to be receptive. It doesn't want to hear those communications. And we know Ephesians 2, verse 2 tells us Satan is the prince and power of the air. Not only is our mind, our nature, our just mankind, man's nature doesn't want to hear it. There's an enemy out there that's trying to block that effective communication. So our ears have to be trained. We have to understand what are the forms of those communications. How do I see them? How do I hear them? How do I tune in? How do I listen to those things? And we'll try to cover that today. And we know the Bible tells us that in the past, God used many different ways to communicate. Through angels, prophets, dreams, visions, miracles, burning bush, a written word, spoken word, and even a donkey. And today, maybe it'll be Dave Horvath. But God has used a variety of ways. Well, if Hebrews 13, verse 8 is true, which we know it is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't mean that he will always use the same methods, but it does mean that he will always speak in a variety of ways. Now, they're different, right? I haven't seen a burning bush. I haven't had a donkey talk to me. I haven't had those things happen. But again, the passage really intends to mean that God will and does speak to us in a variety of ways. And we have to be in tune and understand what those ways are. But a key to doing that, which I've already mentioned, effective communication has more to do with listening than any other thing. Let me say that again. Effective communication has more to do with listening than any other thing. And that's true. You can find hundreds of books about that. You'll be an effective teacher? Listen. You'll be an effective husband? Listen. Wife? Listen. You want to be a good coach? Listen. You want to be a good salesperson? Listen. I mean, there's nothing new to that. But in today's myself world, it's pretty hard to get people to listen anymore. I mean, we're so broadcast so much information, so much stuff. We don't like to listen. Even our human nature does not want to listen. Of course, Satan himself doesn't want us to listen to the right things. I do not want to see or hear correction. I don't want to be criticized. Well, again, I'm not saying criticism is always good, but I don't want criticism. I don't even want to hear the truth. Most people, don't want to hear the truth. I don't want to learn. I just want to be entertained. I don't want to read or study. I don't want reality. I want escapism. I don't want to hear prophecy or negative warnings. I want bliss, and I want to be numbed by my surroundings. I want to ignore, body language from people. I don't care what they think or say. I don't want to be evaluated. I don't want customer feedback. I mean, all these things, people have that idea. Again, we hear that. We feel that. Political correctness has something to do with that. Repentance. I don't want to repent. I'm right. Accept me the way I am. There's so many noisy things out there. Opinions. I don't want to hear your opinion. I don't want even new knowledge. I don't want to grow. I don't want to overcome. I don't want to endure. You know, people, and myself included, you know, we fight those thoughts. But again, all those have something to do with listening. You can have somebody criticize you and complain, but oftentimes isn't there some truth in what they're saying? I mean, again, take it for what it's worth. You don't let it get you down, but normally there's something to be learned there. Yeah, but we don't want to listen to those things. So when we think of listening to each other, to God, to customers, to spouse, to children, to friends, to ministry, to whoever, there's three things that we must do. It's pretty obvious. One is reduce the noise. The first thing you got to do to listen is reduce the noise. The environment we live in today is noisy. I don't just mean audible sound, although that's a big part of it. When you see people, they're just plugged in all day long to headphones, earbuds, you know, of course, social media, radios, whatever it might be. There's just an audible noise in the background, the heating, cooling systems that we live in. But it's also a condition of the mind. A noisy environment exists in our mind. Distractions, schedules, commitments, to-do lists, calendars, juggling work, family, recreation, play. Our hobbies oftentimes contribute to our demise, it seems. The news cycle, sin, our schedules, social media, music, all this noise that's around us. Again, not just the audible, but that what's in the mind, in the eyes, even just the optical things that we see. News nowadays, it's just flash, this, clip, cut, paste, all this stuff. It's just chaos. It affects our ability to listen, to focus our attention to any single message. It's hard. It's hard to do. So the first thing we got to do is reduce the noise. And we hear about that in a variety of ways and messages and sermons all year. You come out of the world. Yeah, that's a message that would relate to reducing the noise. You know, it's hard to be plugged into effective listening to God's effective communication if you just live in a noisy life. It's hard, if not impossible. So one, reduce the noise. Two, remove your earmuffs. You can have earmuffs on and still hear chaos in the background. But when I say earmuffs, I mean the personal, the spiritual earmuffs that we have. And we hear that in sermons all year long too. About opening your mind, about being receptive. But again, you can live in an environment that's noise-free. You could be a hermit in a cave somewhere out in Montana and still have earmuffs on spiritually. In a manner that through your attitude, through pride, through vanity, that can exist anywhere on earth, even in a very quiet environment. So again, we must reduce the noise and remove those earmuffs that we have. And then third, listen. Listen. I'm not one on big on audience participation, and I'm nervous about doing this, but I would like to have a little audience participation here. I've got what I'd like to do, I've got, for those who are age, let's say 20 and under, they probably don't even know what this is. It's actually a cassette player. You put a cassette in here and it spins and makes music or sound. I know this is now the size of a watch, but this is a mini radio. I'm going to use it here in a minute. But I'd like some audience participation. In fact, everybody here, since the youth over here in these, we'll call it the first two rows, like to have you do two things. And I'm going to give the sign of when to start this. You're going to just clap. Pretty easy, right? You can handle that. This whole side over here, to my left, the right side of the hall, I want you to say peas and carrots, peas and carrots, peas and carrots. Peas and carrots, peas and carrots. Just keep saying peas and carrots. That includes the first two rows. Because you're young, you're more agile, more sharp, I think you can do two things at once. So you're going to clap and say peas and carrots. The rest of everybody else is going to say peas and carrots. Everybody on my right side, the left side of the hall, you're going to say peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter and jelly. Just keep saying it till I give this sign. We're going to stop all that noise. And while that's going on, don't be alarmed. I'm going to have this radio here playing. Again, radio is what comes through the airwaves free for all you young folks. It's actually broadcast. It doesn't cost anything. It's got different stations. That's what that is. So I'm going to just flip through that. But while I'm doing that and while you're making that noise, because it will be noise, I'm going to read something from God. I'm going to read a passage from God and see who can tell me what I'm reading. All right. Are we ready? Find where it's on. Okay. Let's go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. All right. Let me turn this off. That was just to add a little chaos in case you guys didn't come through for me. But you did fine. You did fine. Anybody hear what I was reading? That's right. You can't hear. I mean, I know that's simple. That's a simple, fun little thing. But let me read what I just read. Because it's an important passage. And again, I don't mean to make this a light thing, but when there's so much noise in our lives, which it can be. It's nonsense. Peas and carrots, peanut butter and jelly, clapping. You know, I wasn't have somebody flip the light switches on and have a group walk around. You know, it's just chaos. But I thought, you know, I don't push my luck. You guys may never sit down and let me finish. But that's the lives that we lead too often, if not always. And Satan loves it. There's so much noise that we don't hear. Now, again, it's not, even when we stop that noise, you still have to remove the earmuffs, spiritually speaking. If you would, turn to John 5, verse 24. John 5, verse 24. This is where I started to read. I couldn't even hear myself read. I think I read this. John 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. I want to hear those words. I want to hear those words. But has passed from death into life. I want to hear those words. Verse 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear, and it'll be few that hear. In this passage, it's not talking about those who are dead physically, because when God gives the call to those who are dead, they don't have the option to rise. And the rest of the passage explains that. This is referring to those who are dead spiritually, who can't hear, who are living in a way of sin, who don't have life in them. And the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves, this is a different group of people, will hear his voice. And they'll have the option, you know, some, maybe all of them. If they're being resurrected, they're being resurrected. They don't have the choice in that. Verse 29, and all of those will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Verse 30. I can of myself do nothing as I hear. Even Christ, the Son of Man, says, as he hears, if he doesn't listen, he can't hear. God, Jesus Christ, himself has to listen. Why? Because he gets his orders, so to speak, from his Father. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Christ listens to God. He sets that example for us. He listens. You know, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, we have to remove the earmuffs. It's not just our environment that we have to quiet down. We have to have an open mind. We have to remove those earmuffs to listen, to hear. If you, a contrast, I thought it was interesting looking this up, Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico. If you're talking about listening, I've got little ears. I've got little Shrek ears. But, you know, if you have big ears, like the Arecibo Observatory does, it's the largest dish, curved focusing dish on Earth, engages in radio astronomy, radar observations of the solar system, and the study of the atmospheres of other planets. The enormous dish was built in 1963 inside the depression caused by a naturally occurring sinkhole. I think you've seen maybe this one, a James Bond movie or something. That massive dish, it's listening. You know, we, myself, I speak on things I know of. Yeah, I want to put the earmuffs on. I don't want to hear all that God is telling me. I just don't want to hear it. You know, Passover is largely about that. It's, God, help me to see myself. How do I do that? Help me to remove the earmuffs. Help me to quiet my environment and to listen. We need ears spiritually, like the Arecibo Observatory, as big as we can get them. Of course, it takes God's Spirit to do that. A few things about listening to God that I just felt I had to cover before we go through kind of just a more quick review of the 10 different ways that I've come up with is that God knows us completely. And this was something that, quite frankly, this part of this message that I had never quite thought of before. But if you would, turn to Matthew 10, verse 29. Or I can just read it either way. You don't need to turn there because I've got another passage we will turn to. Matthew 10, verse 29 reads, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? Not even a sparrow falls to the earth without God allowing it. Really? I can't be. I've got sparrows that fly into my windows all the time, and they fall down on the ground dead. That's kind of a weird thing, you know. God knew about that. He didn't stop it. The Bible tells me not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. And that's incredible. Verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. Don't be afraid that I'm not talking to you. Don't be afraid that God is not communicating, that he's not directing your life, that he's not involved, that he's not giving you many, many different forms of effective communication. He is. Don't fear that he's not. You just have to listen. For you are of more value than many sparrows. That's one passage. Another, please turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 1. Psalm 139, beginning of verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Skip down to verse 13. Continuing, verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 14, I will praise you. As a result of this, David says, I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Verse 16, Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. David says, you know, you formed my days before the days even happened. There's nothing in my life, David says, that you're not an architect of, that you're not involved with. Again, not that God causes everything to happen, but he allows it. He can cause things to happen, of course, but he's saying there's nothing that's going to happen to you that I don't permit. Look at all the words just in these few passages. Searched, known, know, comprehend, understand, thought, acquainted, know, inward parts, my substance. That's as intimate of words as I could put together. God knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. Psalm 44, verse 21 says, for he knows the secrets of the heart. He knows everything that you've ever thought, why you think it, whether you know why you think it or not. Now, Horvath, you're a product of your past, your present, your experiences, your chemistry, your intellect. I mean, God knows why and how things work inside us. There's nothing he does not know about us. Matthew 6, verse 8, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Okay, that's great. God, who knows your every thought, every feeling, every emotion, every need, every desire, every secret of your heart, who loves you perfectly and is effectively communicating to you, let me ask this question. What do you really need to say to God? Think about that. If you had a spouse who knew everything about you, every thought, every emotion, every feeling, every secret, every inward part, at some point, would you need to say anything to that person? You know, again, there's a caveat here. I'm not saying that through our prayers, through our relationship with God, God wants to know if it's on your mind. He wants to hear it. So again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the important thing, Mr. Petty covered this, even narcissism. We get so focused on noise and programs that everything's about me that we forget if God is all of that, if he loves us and knows every single thing about us, there's not a single thing, single sentence of our life, a single second that goes by that he's not aware of. Why do I need to pray about myself all the time? God, me, my God, you don't understand. God, please hear me. Why don't you hear me, God? Are you listening? Oh, God, I'm in pain. I need help. I need encouragement. God, me, this and that. What do we really owe God? If all these things are true, what do we owe God? To listen is first. We listen, we give praise to God, and we intercede for others. You know, love God, love your neighbors. Again, nothing new here. But when we do that, that is how we listen. We can't listen if everything is about us. If I don't want to hear criticism, I don't want to hear that message at the feast because I've heard it before. I don't want to hear my spouse criticize me, correct me. I don't want to be corrected. I don't want my employer evaluation. I don't want feedback. I don't want to hear. I don't want to see negative body language. I don't want to see. I want. That's the biggest obstacle to listening. How can we listen to anybody if it's all about us? How can we listen to God if it's all about me? It's just not going to happen. Again, I'm not saying that in our prayers, in our relationship to God, that we don't express anything we care to. But if it's a primary focus of our prayers, we're not listening. For a God that does all that and is all that to us, we owe him listening, praise, and interceding for others. Because he told us to do so. Then me, my, mine. That's fine. You know, if we're listening, you know, in our prayers, you know, God, help me to listen, to hear the effective communications that you give to me. Help me to see and read what people are telling me. Good, bad, or indifferent. I know you're in charge. the circumstances, the events, the things that are happening to me. Help me to see and learn and grow from them. Give me encouragement in those things that I may encourage others. God, help me to be to admonish, to encourage in a good way other people. God, because you are these things, I give you praise and honor and glory. You know, rather than just, you know, God, sometimes I find myself, you know, the first sentence is, you know, God, thank you for being a God of mercy, power, and compassion. Boom, now my list. You know, I just ramble off stuff that I want, that I need, or my feelings, or my emotions. Again, there's appropriate times for that, but it will be an obstacle to listening if we're not careful. You know, I just want to speak. I just want to speak. I want to tell you. I want to tell you this. I want to express my thoughts. You know, you should. You need to. I'm going to criticize you. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to complain. I'm going to give you my opinion, my point of view. I'm going to gossip about you. Help me. Give me understanding. Give me this. Give me that. Serve me. My to-do list. My prayer request. My interests. My goals. What I need. You know, we can get caught up in that. I just want to speak. I don't want to listen. Because I might hear something that you need me to do. Or God, I might hear you give me instruction. A couple quotes. First, seek to understand, then to be understood. Who's that? That's Stephen Covey. Wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools, because they have to say something. And a fool's not going to listen. He wants to hear himself speak. Who said that? Plato. Proverbs 18, verse 2. I don't ever remember hearing this passage. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. God, are you listening to me? My heart, my emotions, my this. Once we get our mind off of ourselves, we can listen. If we're trained and programmed to listen to God, His effective communications, to listen to others, that should be the order. Then, you know, we can talk about ourselves. Another point about listening to God, my first big category there, was God knows us completely. And because He does, again, He still wants to hear anything that's on your mind. But if God were here in person, so to speak, would you say, oh, God, I need this at work. Oh, God, I need this. No, you'd fall on your face and say, you know, you'd praise Him. Well, He is there in our prayers, in person, you know, through Christ. So again, God knows us completely, and that's warming. That's encouraging. A second important point about this, and these were just not random thoughts, but thoughts I thought we had to cover before I quickly go through the 10 ways that God does communicate with us, is that God has, or God is, perfectly communicating what we need. I've already said that, but I want to read a passage here. But most communication, to summarize where we've come from, is our learning, our recognition, our receptivity, our training, our focus, taking the blinders off, taking the earmuffs off, and hearing what God has already said. And we can prove that. It's not, oops, God forgot to address a condition. It's not, oops, I forgot to give these people, my future sons and daughters, all the instructions they needed. I left off part of the list. Oops, you know what? Horvath is facing this thing that's unique to only Horvath. No one else in history has ever faced that or ever will face it again. We feel like our situations are unique. And again, they're unique to us. They're new to us. They're important to us. God understands that, though. But His Word is complete. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happen to them as examples. I feel sorry for all those people back in the Old Testament. They had to go through all that just for us. They're probably going to slap me for that one when they resurrected. They'll be like, why did you make us go through all this? And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And don't think that there's something that, you know, so unique to you that God hasn't addressed or isn't addressing in a personal way. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful. Why? Because He loves you. He loves me. He loves His people. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Another passage, John 17, verse 6. John 17, verse 6. Again, another passage that we read at Passover time, because it's an intimate passage. God's telling us important things right near His death. John 17, verse 6. I have manifested. The word manifested means make clear, make visible, make known. Christ says, I have made known your name, the Father's name, His character, His fame, to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I, Jesus, have done this effective communication. I have given them your words, which you have given me, and they have received them, hopefully, and have known, hopefully, surely that I have come forth from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. Christ is saying, I've given them the words that they need. Well, I need to hear a voice in my head that says, do this. Well, you're not going to get it. God, if you're hearing voices, you know, seek counsel. God's saying, I have given them the words. I have given them effective communication. Continuing down at verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Dropping down to verse 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared, I have made known to them your name, your character. And will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. So again, God has and is perfectly communicating with us through His written word. The Bible is complete. You know, once for all delivered, for all generations. The Bible is not going to be edited out. God didn't forget. Oops, I forgot to give them the information on how to live. He gives us the principles, the lessons that we need to address every and all situation. He communicates that to us if we listen. On the time remaining, I'm going to just go briefly and quickly through 10 forms and types of communications. And again, this is just a survey. It's an overview. This is where I started the message in my mind, but I think you can communicate all day long. I can send you letters, emails, tweets, you know, Pony Express, recordings. But if you're not listening, oh, that's irrelevant. That's why I wanted to cover the most important part of effective communication with God or with anyone is first listening. That is our responsibility. So again, 10 forms and types of communications. First, of course, is Christ the Word. Christ the Word. And He gives us, of course, principles, lessons, teachings, you know, the mind of Christ, purpose, plan, character, all of those things. You know, I'm a home builder. If I teach you the very basic principles of scale, you know, level, plumb, and square, load, lap, you know, there's only so many principles of building. You can literally build anything. I mean, it's not that complicated. You know, God teaches us, you know, if you're learning humility versus pride, if you're living give versus get, if you're learning and understanding God's character, the mind of Christ, the God's plan, perspective for man, for humanity, for you, the feast days, you know, what can't you address in your life? You know, patience, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, kindness. These things will get us through every and all situation we face. And that is Christ the Word, that written Word. And of course, Christ through the Spirit, which is another point. But Christ the Word. Hebrews 1 verse 1, you don't need to turn to these. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom Also, he made the worlds. God speaks to us through Christ. Well, the written word that we have, the Bible, is the words, the character of Christ. We've got to be involved in them. We've got to read, pray, and study. God, I wish you'd speak to me. Well, I don't ever read the Bible. Well, okay. Well, there goes the primary way that God will speak to you. Second Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, not incomplete, not oops, forgot to address that situation, for that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's nothing missing in God's Word. A second way that God speaks to us is the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know it's the Spirit of Christ in us. The Holy Spirit, I recently gave a message on the yoke of the helper, which talked a lot about that. But again, if we reduce the noise, we remove the earmuffs, then we can listen to the Holy Spirit. It wants to do the right thing. It wants to solve the problems in your life. It wants you to grow, to overcome, to be encouraged, to be uplifted. Oftentimes, we just don't listen. John 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he or it will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority. Again, the Holy Spirit listens to God, to Christ, on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. For he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Lots of declare, hears, speak, guide, tell you words in this few sentences. God's telling you, talking to you, instructing you, guiding you, problem solving for you, giving you advice, giving you direction, giving us guidance, correction, how to endure. All those things we're receiving. Or being broadcast to us. We just need that receive both sides, curved focusing dish spiritually so that we can hear it. A third way that God communicates to us is through prayer, of course. But it's not so much that, well, we pray and God, we hear this voice. Again, we know we pray to God. We can read scriptures as we pray. But sometimes we need to listen. This is kind of a different look at prayer as a way that God speaks to us. Sometimes we have to listen to our own prayers. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26 tells us, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts, certainly God in Christ is, who does that, knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints. The Holy Spirit, oftentimes, when you're in prayer, in humility, sometimes you have to just listen to the words that come out of your mouth. Like, I'm not saying that all the time the words that come out of your mouth have been directed by the Holy Spirit, but there will be times when you say, wow, I mean, I didn't even think that. Especially if you're praying about listening, if you're giving God praise and interceding and praying for other people, a lot of times your own words can be God through the Holy Spirit saying something to you. I never thought to think those words, but here I am thinking them. Why did that happen? Again, the Holy Spirit works with us. A fourth way that God speaks to us, of course, is through the church. Through the church. If we can reduce the noise, remove spiritually our earmuffs and listen, we have church teachers, pastors, prophets. You can see counsel, the writings, the broadcast, different events, activities. All those things are ways that God will and does speak to us. Ephesians 4:11 tells us, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Well, it means why has he done that? Because he's going to speak through them. So listen. A fifth way that God does effectively communicate with us is through our mind. Not just the Holy Spirit, but our mind, our intellect, our aptitudes, our gifts, talents, our ability to reason, our mind capacity, the ideas that we come up with. You know, God can think to us. God can think to us. Matthew 25, verse 15 was covered in the sermonette. Into one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. Well, God gives you. He knew you in the womb. He numbers your days, knows the hairs on your head, knows every thought, every secret thing about you. But he also, when he gives you talents and abilities and strengths, that's a form of communication, isn't it? If I give an employee a task A or B or C, I'm probably going to do that for reasons. It's not just haphazard. There's communication that's taking effect there. You're good at this, or I want you to be good at this. God can work that way and does. Proverbs 21, verse 1, you don't need to turn to all these. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. God can influence our thoughts, the way we think, how we think, what we think. Again, I can't explain or give an example of when that's happened to me. I just know that he can. Because he knows everything about us. He can present something, an obstacle. He can present a stranger on the street that bumps into you and says something to you. He can do those things. Faith is a sixth way that God speaks to us. Through the character and mind of Christ in us. Just that knowledge, that understanding. Our faith can be a way that God speaks to us. You know, all these could be sermons of them by themselves, and I certainly don't have the time, of course, to elaborate much. But the more faith that we have, the deeper, the more, the larger our curved, focusing dish becomes. The greater the communications, the more in-depth they become. If you knew me so well that I didn't have to say a word to you because you understood my thoughts before I thought them, that's pretty deep. As our faith grows, that effective communication gets deeper, more meaningful. You know, the truth of God is infinite. There is no boundary to it. If you think you know, if I think I know all of God's truth, we probably scratched the surface in some respects. How do you explain, you know, eternity? We can't. So again, faith is a way that God communicates with us. A seventh way, through creation. Through creation. I hate being outside. I hate the heat. I hate bugs. I hate camping. I hate being outdoors. Well, you're missing out on a form, a method of God's communication. There's a certain humility that is learned when you're outdoors. There's a certain magnificence that you can only see. You're staying at the base of a mountain and you see the trees, the air, the sky, and realize who you are and who you aren't. There's communication taking place there. The engineering, the design that goes into the most minute feature of life. How did God do that? I mean, there people predict that there's still 45, 50% of things on earth that we haven't even discovered yet. How do you set all that in motion? I don't know. But I can tell you there's communication when you look at it. When you see it, God's telling you something through that design. Psalms 19, verse 1 tells us, and of course, Romans 1:20 reads, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." Not just seen, clearly seen. And not just seen, but understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. That's a powerful passage. It's saying you probably can understand more about God from creation than possibly any other source. His invisible attributes, you can see them, you can understand them. Even his eternal power can be understood, or at least begin to be understood, by seeing creation, because it's incredible. We have to see that message. If we have no impact or no involvement with nature, we're missing one of those ways that God communicates with us. An eighth way that God communicates with us is experiences. If you look at the things in your life, circumstances, good or bad, opportunities, good or bad, events, the environment that you were raised in, blessings and cursings. Some of those come at your own as a result of what we do. But there's still communication in those. If you have nothing but cursings in life, there's probably a reason for that, right? Everybody slaps me real hard. Well, it's because you're kind of rude. You know, you walk up to people and you're, nobody likes me. Well, maybe you're not listening to what they're telling you. I mean, our environment, the experiences that we have, again, not that they're all controlled, but again, God has said, not a sparrow falls to the ground without his knowledge, without his will, knows every hair in your head. Well, he certainly knows your environment, the circumstances, the opportunities, the challenges that you face. And he can allow those things, and there's communication in that. A ninth way that God communicates with us is through music. Through music. Read David's Psalms. I've mentioned this before, but I could not write ever, to my knowledge. I can never see myself writing the book of Psalms. I don't know how David, how do you come up with just that language, that love language? I don't know. But there's communication there, that's for sure. It's the third largest, longest book in the Bible. Psalms is. They're songs. God can communicate to us and does through music. Well, the converse of that is true too. Satan, obviously, can communicate to us through music. Which one are we plugged into? Psalms 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. That's a form of communication. Don't you find sometimes the most intimate, almost just heartwarming, to the point of almost feeling overwhelmed of joy is during song? That's communication. Revelation 14:3 tells us they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. We're going to sing a song. Why? Because it's communication. It is praise. It is all those things that God wants can be wrapped up into music. A tenth and final way, which I've alluded to off and on, is just people. Not just believers, not just your teachers and pastors, but people in general. You know, we often can look at people, you know, in the world, idiot, jerk, bad driver, fool, not called, you know. A lot of times there's lots of information we can learn from people. If you find yourself getting honked at on the road all the time, it's probably you. Right? It's not that they're all idiots. If all of your employers that you've ever had have taken advantage of you, they've not treated you well, and have not paid you right, and they've thought badly of you and give you poor performance evaluations, and they're all against you, that's probably you. There's communication there. God can work through those things. He knows what's going on. So again, all those people out there, coaches, employers, strangers, all the words, all the body language, all the reactions to you, there's communication in that. We have to listen. And we can walk like a bull through a china shop at times in life and ignore everything. Is that what God has called us to be? How are you going to lead those people? Those idiots, bad people, you know. Yeah, it's going to be hard. God says, you know, love God, love your neighbor, not just your church member or your family member. So again, we need to listen to what the people of this earth tell us. It's not all good. They're going to hate us in some respects. But again, there is communication that takes place there. Our relationship with God in Christ depends on effective communication. Our desire and ability to listen to that communication is our most significant responsibility in that communication process. We need to work to reduce the noise in our lives, remove the spiritual earmuffs, get those big curved spiritual focusing dishes to hear, to be receptive to those messages, recognize and listen to God's communications. If you would turn for a final scripture, and we'll close with this, Isaiah 55, verse 1. Isaiah 55, verse 1, a very millennial passage, the feast coming up. Think about this. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, who has needs, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Verse 2, why do you spend money for what is not bread? It's just noise. And your wages for what does not satisfy? It's just noise. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Verse 3, incline your ear and come to me here, and your soul shall live.